Tonight we have a major teaching on reaching out by Linda Lyons. Linda?
I'd like to begin by reading Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear, that I may hear. There are a lot of weary people out there, and we have the word. What strikes me about going out and drawing people in is the fact that we have to really know that we have something here. We really do. If you don't know that you've got a blessing from God, then there's no point in taxing ourselves or putting ourselves out. We have such a gift. And just this sharing this night about our Lord's precious blood on the host, how many people know about that in the world? But we do. What strikes me, and then John's beautiful prophetic word about the baptism, and that's not only our baptism at birth or whenever we receive that sacrament, but the full release, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're weary, don't you think? The world wears us down. Many of us in this community are older. Sometimes it's hard to, and you look at all the negativity, it's almost hard sometimes to work up the enthusiasm to go get them. To pray every day for God to set up a divine appointment. It might be daunting to even pray that prayer, but if we ask him, we could find ourselves, and we will find ourselves in situations, maybe in the line at the grocery store, maybe with a friend, a relative, where all of a sudden the opportunity looms large. You know those little t-ball stands that the kids hit the baseballs off of? Well, sometimes it's a beach ball, and it's just sitting on there, and it's saying, go ahead, go ahead. And then because of our own, you know, self-awareness, we're concerned about ourselves, we all do that, we don't take a swing. We're afraid we'll strike out, we'll miss, or they'll just be insulted because there's a lot of angry people out there, let's face it. But to do those two things, to pray for boldness every day and to ask God for one, at least one, divine appointment. And as he sets it up, it's so easy when he sets it up. If we go out in our own flesh and try to, I have some things here that will have a handout. And if we mechanically go through that with people, we'll think, gee, that sounds stiff. And they may think, gee, that sounds stiff. But if we acquaint ourselves with just a few little steps in this script for inviting someone, and then, most importantly, we feel love for people. I mean, just look around. People are just literally dying of fear, worry, all kinds of anxiety. And if we ask for that holy boldness so he can pour out his love, then we'll have the courage to at least begin to invite someone to do this, to come in here and find out what we have. What do we have? Think about it. Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to go through the script and then we'll come back to it later and we'll actually ask, I'll review this again. And then I want to talk about the gifts that we have to offer. We really have a lot more than we realize. So, there's the beach ball, maybe in the line at Kroger's. I do actually talk to, so does Jim, we talk to a lot of people in the Kroger line and then have those little handouts ready. I haven't actually done that at the Kroger line. I'm going to think about that, and I better do it soon because the seminar is next week. But anyway, of course, to say, hey, my name is Linda. Like they could care less, but And I'd like to invite you to something that has literally changed my life. I'm kind of going out of order here, but I'm trying to make this organic. I went to this florism 50 years ago. And they can't even believe that because they think, 50 years ago? How old were you, a babe? So anyway, 50 years ago, when I think about it, I was a lifeguard, and one of the lifeguards invited me. So you can add a little tidbit there. You know, put a little flesh on the bones there. And then we tell them what it did for us. And my line that I used not too recently is, it changed my life. That's a good line. It really is. And then sometimes, you know, I just want to kind of like back out of there now. I don't want to push too much. But it's also a nice thing to say, you know, I'd love to see you come. And if you have any questions, call me. Here's my number if you're interested. Anyway, we do need holy boldness to do that. It's a little scary. It's worth it. Think of the souls now. If this is true, that the Lord is coming in a more profound way, there are people out there, they're not going to have a clue what to do. So we can at least run out, you know, like the movie Schindler's List. At the end of that, he says, I wish I would have sold the car. If I would have sold the car, I would have saved, I don't know, 100 and some more people. And I don't think that we want to get on the other side in heaven and say, oh, I should have sold the car. I should have really, when I was a little timid and I was a little, I lacked confidence and boldness, I could have at least tried. I could have tried to pull in more souls. If they say no, that's on them. But this part for us is to at least ask. So I want to tell you what the life in the Spirit actually did for me specifically, because I have some more time to kill here. But I mentioned this briefly during the Mass the other night, last week, and because I had gone through grade school, not all of you were there, so those who were, you get to hear it again, but I had gone through my entire grade school just so fearful, so poor Father, he has to still hear my confession. But it's much better, Father. You should have seen me back then. But it was terrifying to me. I had such a fear of sin and wrongdoing. I really wasn't doing much at all, but my imagination said I was. And the nuns would describe things and say, if you wanted to do this, it's almost as bad as doing it. So anyway, I never went to communion. But maybe on First Friday, if I could make it from Thursday, the day before, confession to the next day without having some thought that I thought was terrible. In fact, in fourth grade, I told the priest I murdered my brother. I was very angry with him. I hadn't obviously murdered him, but I felt like it. So, you know, those are the kind of, we all have these little deals, you know. So when I was 18 years old, after an eighth grade, I almost went into the convent because the nuns were after me. And I told my mother, and she said, absolutely not. When you're 18, if you want to do that, go for it. Well, at 18, I thought, you know what, I've had it. I cannot deal with all of this inner world of scrupulosity. It was killing me. And that's when the fellow lifeguard invited me to a life in the Spirit. And the Lord had been setting the table prior to that to just draw me in, you know? And it was a great grace that He gave me. I started reading scriptures. I made Jim go to Mass when we got married. I said, we're going, getting up, come on. And did that embarrass you, Jim? Sorry. But anyway, so I went to this life in the Spirit, and this is where I want to point out what we've got to offer. Because I'll tell you, what hit me, what began to save me, was love. That's what we have here, love. See how they love one another, the Christians, and that's what speaks to the world. I trusted people. I want to read a quote here from a woman named Sherry Waddell, because I found these people who trust, that I could trust, and this speaks to that. Without trust, it is very difficult, if not impossible, for a person to progress. They will not have a safe space to be curious and ask vulnerable questions. They will not feel safe putting themselves into a place of openness to a radically different way of seeing the world. That's what we do here. We're radical. We see the world according to the way the Lord sees it. And it's such a gift to be able to give away. And so that's what those folks, I don't even know who they were at the time, but I began to trust. And in addition to that, why did I trust them? Well, I saw the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It was very obvious in them. And it was a gentleness that I could overcome, you know, all these fears and all this. I mean, it was very difficult. But let's just listen here to this list of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And just think about what we have here. We have charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. In this world, when we try to live those fruits of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, we can work on those virtues on our own, and we can get to a certain place, and then we fall, and we head all the way back down the stairs and have to start building up again. But the Lord wants to see that in us because he wants to see that we're trying. But with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he gives these fruits of the Spirit in great measure. You know, we have the charismatic gifts, which I'll mention in a minute, but these fruits, and look at all of us together, it's multiplied. We have had people say that when they walk through those doors, the first thing they notice is love. It's a tremendous gift. We don't want to keep it a secret. If we have to drag people, I'm just kidding, so they can experience how much we love them. You know, we don't generally leave people just come in and be by themselves. You know, our first inclination is to go and hug them, not a physical sense, but ultimately we wind up hugging them. And then we've got the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit for personal sanctification. Wisdom, that gift where it's as if we're sitting on the Father's lap and we can look down and see the big picture. People walk in that door, they need the big picture. They're going through hell and back, and we can perhaps give them a word, or just with our gentleness and our kindness, you know, encourage them and say, look, this is it right now, but there's so much more coming. And this is what happened to me, and it can happen for you, because I was a basket case, and the Lord's really calmed me down. Understanding, this ability to really get into things, know what they're about in the Lord. And counsel, what a great gift. The gift of counsel, where we can see where people and ourselves as well, and each other as brothers and sisters, where the enemy's trying to take us perhaps off the road, the beaten path, and we can bring each other back. Again, using those fruits of the Holy Spirit, great love, gentleness, kindness, goodness, generosity. We may spend time on the phone with these people. You know, we may meet them. We may have extended conversations. We may do actual corporal works of mercy for them. And then knowledge and fortitude. Hey, how many people have been sticking around through thick and thin? our lives have just been a roller coaster of crosses, but then great joys. But the fortitude is there. We haven't quit. We're still here. And don't think the good Lord doesn't notice that. He allows those crosses because he's testing us. And he wants to see if we're able to get the next round of blessings, because he doesn't like to waste gifts and graces. And he certainly doesn't want to do as he did with Lucifer, who had pretty much, you know, pretty big package, and it was his downfall. So he tests us. That's a great grace. And then piety. This is the thing I was missing. And the next one is fear of the Lord, which is reverence for the Lord. But I had way too much of that, you know? And the piety where you can climb up on the Father's lap, where you're his little child and just cuddle with the Father. That's what I learned here. And I learned it through all of my brothers and sisters who weren't afraid to gather around and take me in. I can't even tell you. The fact that I've lasted 50 years after at 18, I just walked out, and I thought it was a very good decision. And honestly, on some level, it was. It was, because I came back in and I chose it for myself. I chose the Lord, and it has been my whole life, and I have no intention of ever, you know, giving it up again, because I did that once. And it won't happen again, God willing. And then, of course, we have these great gifts. How many people out there have a gift of prophecy where we believe that we hear directly from the Lord God speaking to us to encourage us? This is something that would be very helpful to people to hear in a community. And then we have the gift of tongues, which is perplexing to some, but that gift is the doorway to other gifts. There are other people who don't have it, and nobody's condemning anyone who doesn't. But there, and we don't all, we're a community here, so we all together hopefully have all the gifts. But that gift helps us in perplexing situations, like when we're in the back and we're praying for somebody and they're having a really difficult time, and we don't frankly know what to do with them. So that gift helps very much there. And perhaps we're able to give them a word of wisdom. It just kind of puts things in a different light. Or we can give them a word of knowledge. And you know how that can operate. Perhaps the Lord wants to heal them, and we get a word of knowledge about that. And we can speak that to them, and that meets something in them, and they have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But if they don't hear it, where will faith come from? There's more, of course, miracles. And I'd like to ask with all of you this night, if we're seeing Eucharistic miracles, it seems to me that the Lord is crying out, I want to do so much. And we could step out and make sure our prayer life, again, as we're praying for boldness and praying for divine appointments, that our prayer lives are deep and constant, and that we believe, we have faith on behalf of other people. You know, the Lord will answer our faith. If another person doesn't have faith, he can use our faith. At least that's what I've heard. And so to step out and be bold and ask him for miracles, why not? We need them. Those people out there, they need miracles. And then the healing. There's nothing that speaks to someone more profoundly than a miracle or a healing. It's like, God knows I'm here. He just touched me. So these are all things that I think the Lord wants us to take into account and be well aware that we have so much to offer. And in the difference that it made in my relationship with God, as I mentioned before, I've literally been on fire. It's carried me through. You know, I didn't get instant healing with all that worrisome stuff. Once in a while, it comes back. So I rely on different sisters and brothers in the community and elsewhere to help me to get out of that. But it keeps me humble, which is a very good thing. My trust in God has been growing. And I have heard words from Him about our children and a grandchild that have given me so much encouragement. And don't we all need that? Don't we worry about our family members? I'll tell you what, if we go out there and bring in people, particularly strangers, watch Him send people to our family, to our children, our grandchildren, our spouses. And my relationship with others, I would say that back in the day, I was standoffish. I was more judgmental. We all have that going on. And I would say He's brought me to a place where it's not as big of an issue. I feel more the love of God. I see it on people. There are a couple of priests. Glad it wasn't you, Father. But I felt such a holy boldness come on me that I went and was extremely bold. And the one I said, well, you know, I'm not going to keep pressuring you. And he said, with a laugh, he said, oh, yes, you will. But the point is, it's the love that I feel, you know. And I know you all have love. You're here. And these gifts and sanctifying gifts and fruits of the Spirit are, and we have all of these. And when we're together, you know, how's that go, that little candle, that little light, this little light of mine? Well, then it's kind of a cliche, but it's true. We're so bright when we're all lit up together. So as promised, I would like to go through this script, and then we'll talk about the upper room as a way to close. So we go up to the person after we've prayed for the divine appointment, and we feel the little, uh-oh, here it comes. And for the boldness, and we don't have to come on like gangbusters. It can be very gentle. We each have our own style. But just introduce ourselves and invite them to the life in the Spirit. Maybe tell them what got you to go to it, the circumstances, what it did for you, very briefly, because I'm not going to stand there all day. And if I would love for you to come, very sincere, very loving. So here we are. We're in the upper room. Just as the apostles and I, our Blessed Mother, they were all there. And what was happening before that? Because just as you and I may be thinking, oh, I got to go out and talk to people. But think about that, how they were cowering, not our Blessed Mother, but the rest, hiding, fearful, terrified. But what did Mary and the Lord have them doing? Praying. Praying. So that's what we can do. We just pray and pray and pray. And then they came busting out of that room. And what happened there was one of the biggest miracles, the biggest conversion. Peter, who had denied our Lord, was out there preaching about God. So Lord, we just ask you now, you've heard all of this drivel that I've said. I didn't do it justice. But we ask, as our little family sits here together, that you pour forth your Spirit upon us as if in another baptism. We're just taking you at your word. You gave us this word tonight of a new baptism of the Holy Spirit that is more profound than the first one or the second one or the third one we had. Come, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor and glory, for you are the greatest. You are the best. And we'd like to let other people know how great you are. Amen.